It's everything you want it to be, nothing that you don't want it to be. Let's talk about that.
I don't. That doesn't make any sense.
It might be something you don't
feel
want
like
it to
be.
Feel
like you're already manipulating the audience. What do you need?
We'll be that. For you. Push, pull, drag your podcast on in.
It is.
We will trade for anything.
They really will now. You've been getting the emails?
You may have to be more specific. Yes, I've been getting the
hot
emails.
Girls in your area. No. No, the emails from the car dealerships. We'll take your trade and like they're making deals. Like when you drive by a car dealership, none of the cars in the parking lot are from that brand. They're all trade-ins. Almost none of the, like I have a Hyundai dealership near me. And we drive Hyundais, and so it's like, because we're making that kind of coin. I don't know. Yeah. Driving a Hyundai is not the kind of thing you brag about. But we just drive by, and I noticed, I think I said this before, but when I took it for service, my first service appointment for my newer car, and I go in, and it looked full from the outside. They're like parked out there on the outskirts, like facing the, it's on the corner of two streets. And when I come in, it's like, nope, like it was empty inside. So it was just like a little illusion they had created. Yeah. And now I've noticed as I go by, every car in the lot is like Ford, you know, Chevy, and they're all trade-ins. So it's like now they're like, hey, we need your car again. And they're offering me like $5,000 more than I paid for it.
To get your car back.
To get a car. Just
to trade in your Hyundai.
Yeah.
They're going to offer you more than you paid for it new.
Way, way more.
Johnny, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Go do it.
Well, no, they're going to have to buy another car in this market. It's like selling your house right now for the profit.
Yeah, go do it. Ride your bike.
Right. That's the only thing you could do. If you had a third car, this would be the time to ditch
it. I have a third car.
Yeah, but your third car is crap.
What are you talking about?
I'm kidding. No, but I mean,
you love borrowing my third car.
I do. It's a truck.
Yeah. By the way, I think I have a hole in the exhaust system. And I didn't have it before you borrowed it. So.
I don't know if I'll need, you know, Scott, my neighbor Scott has a truck. He's also a loyal listener. And he's got a nice truck.
It's like a dually, isn't it?
It's a big truck. I don't know if it's a dually, but
he told me he drove it back from Wisconsin and it was like a
It was one of those things, too, where he goes, he inherited it from his dad. And so he's like, I'm driving it back and then we have to see if it fits in my garage. It's one of those, like it was that long. He didn't know if the garage, I think it closed by like an inch or something.
Wow.
Barely closed. So all that said, he's my guy now. I've not asked him, but I have a feeling like, hey.
Is this your unofficial ask?
This is me asking to ask in the future.
Because now if he says no, he knows we're willing to go to the airwaves.
That's right. Sign this petition if you think Scott's being a jerk. He's being unruly. No, I only need a truck like twice a year. But when you need a truck, it's like you need a truck.
So are you going to pay for the hole in my exhaust system that you
obviously
caused?
You think it happened on my watch?
I mean, I don't remember it beforehand. My truck sounds like it's a Toyota T100, so it does it. It normally sounds like, and now it's like, and I told Sadie, I was like, you know, some people pay to get their truck to sound like my truck sounds right now.
Oh, right.
So that's, I mean, except for the, I guess, it's not, what's the right word here? The exhaust that is causing my brain cells to.
Oh, right. You're getting a little CO.
But it sounds amazing.
Put a carbon monoxide detector in your car.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or
it's not coming into the car, though, is it?
No. I opened the door the other day with the engine running. And
you
I felt
got a big
like there was more than usual.
And you felt a little bit lightheaded. And
yeah. I saw things. It was like.
Then you're like, I think I got a book idea. That's what's your, wouldn't it be funny if that's what was your inspiration? You fixed the exhaust leak and you're like, I've got a real dry spell.
This whole time, carbon monoxide, just in small doses, was enough to
there
really.
There was a story that happened years ago. I remember reading about it. This couple is in their living room. Have we talked about this? This couple's in their living room. This feels like the kind of story that I would have told you once before.
I don't know.
They're in their living room just sitting around. It's an older couple. And a semi-tractor trailer, guy falls asleep. And he runs into their like chimney of their living room, almost kills them, but it breaks the, because it's the brick part of the house, and I guess it just broke his, he wasn't going fast enough. And so the house is like, that side of the house is demolished. And through the inspection of the rubble and everything, they realize there was a slow leak of the carbon monoxide of this fireplace.
Huh.
And the couple had been slowly dying. And the truck saved their life. So, and they told the investigators, they're like, we had been getting sick. We didn't know what it was. Like, we're not sleeping right, and we just have tons of fatigue, and we didn't know. They were slowly dying. So this truck saved their life by almost killing them. Bro.
And listener, isn't that just like...
Who's the semi-truck in this story? I don't know.
What some of y'all need is...
Sometimes you need your chimney knocked over.
You need to come right through the walls and tear them down.
Like, carbon monoxide is sin, for sure, right? So it's like a... you can't see it.
Couldn't it be depression or something?
Okay, sure, it could be, I guess.
I mean, why does everything have to go straight to sin for you?
What is...
Wow.
So you're saying depression's not sin, John? Okay. We're getting really heavy-handed, aren't we? Depression's not sin, listeners. Okay. So anyway, yeah, so what would the truck be? The truck, if your depression is the CO...
It would be
it's an intervention.
I was going to say a catastrophic event.
Oh, okay, it shakes you into, like, getting help.
Yeah. Something happens. I mean, there's actually a lot of even research on that, but certainly biblically, all the things that happen in life.
I feel like if I was that truck driver, I hope the truck driver, I can't remember if the truck driver was okay in the accent, but it's interesting. Like, he would walk away being like, "You're welcome." Like, after, first he feels bad. Yeah, it's the Michael,
it's Michael Scott running rabies. Yeah.
It's Meredith's rabies.
He ran Meredith over. He's like, they discovered she had rabies. God, that was such a great episode. You know, I don't know, Johnny. I don't know. What all the implications are.
Anyway, replace your batteries and your carbon monoxide at home, everybody. It's time to do it.
Also, get some sleep before you drive.
Don't they say to do it at Christmas? That's when you replace the batteries in your... That way you know you're doing it every year, your smoke detectors.
Don't your smoke detectors... Mine start chirping if they don't.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying to keep them from chirping, you just replace the battery every year. Because if they're chirping, it's probably been two
years. Listen, I don't do maintenance very well. I'm always waiting till something's wrong. That's sort of a thing in life.
I have an issue with my home, and I have a very maintenance-free... No home is maintenance-free. I treat my home like a maintenance-free home. we bought it in 2017. It's a new home, and then it's subdivision. It's very nice, and we love it. Well, they were building it, and we bought it right as they were finishing the build. So we got to make like a few little design decisions.
Yeah.
One of those was which they were painting the walls this mauve color.
Oh.
And we were like, well, we don't want that. And we came back the next day, and they had finished all the walls in that color. And then we were like, can we? And they go, it'll cost $1,200 more to have them repaint this, like a taupe color, a normal, what you would normally do. Or you're going to have these pink walls. And I was like, I guess we'll do it. That's the thing when you add to things like that, like we did hardwood, and you can't roll it into the loan. You can't be like, oh, and then you'll just add this onto the... No, you have to pay $5,000 right now if you want hardwood floors in
the den.
Why
can't you roll
into
the loan?
You can't do it.
We built a house and rolled stuff in the loan.
Well, look, must be nice. I think it's because of the stage of the...
Right,
or maybe
where
it's
you
a,
were.
Maybe it's the policy of that particular
builder.
But
we started, we picked the lot, so it wasn't like...
And maybe just the policy of that particular builder, too, that once you're this deep in, you have to do whatever. It's almost like earnest money, like, how bad do you want the... Because if you... What if I bail... You know what I'm saying? And then what if I didn't get approved for the loan, maybe? And then I have these other design decisions I've made. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
We were approved before we even started building.
Anyway, all that said, it's a brick home, which we wanted. And because the main reason was I travel a ton. I don't want Curry out there having to pressure wash siding and all the stuff that goes along with.
Right.
So I was like, great. So we've done very little of this home. But I have an issue. We have this doorway. And you've been to my house. So as you come in, there's like this little stone archway. And you walk in, it's covered.
It's an alcove.
So now you're in the alcove, and it's a covered little doorway. It's a little paranoid little doorway I don't love. We enter through the garage like most suburban Americans. We just open the garage door, even if we're going to the side door. But I've noticed birds keep nesting in that alcove.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't stop it. Like, I've taken down the nest. Like, I wait for a while to make sure I don't want to kill baby birds.
Mm-hmm.
But once I know it's been like a month, there's no eggs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bird going like, it's my house now. I take issue with that. And it's not just because of the bird. It's because they swoop down on your head when you're bringing packages to my house.
Yeah.
Because they're protecting their nest. And the amount of bird poop.
It's a lot.
That comes out of one of these things. Because they're just dropping right on the stoop of my house. There's poop on the stoop, if you will.
It's a poop stoop now.
It's a mountain. So... I got to go out there and, you know, get my stiff broom and just brush that off. So I've knocked it down 3 times. They keep coming back.
Oh, I'll tell you what to do.
It's brutal.
I have the answer.
Okay.
Because I've seen this at multiple beachside restaurants for all of my mini vacations.
Are you going to tell me to get a plastic owl?
No.
Okay.
No. Have you seen a lot of those at beachside restaurants?
No, but I'm just saying like it's almost like a scarecrow.
Yeah, I want you to hang a scarecrow in your alcove.
No, not a scarecrow, but like a...
Fishing line.
Okay.
Hang like two or three, just probably about a foot apart.
Okay.
And it keeps them, they won't fly in. They can't fly in then. They get caught on it. So they put that over the tables at these outside restaurants.
I don't know what you mean. You're just dangling strands of fishing line down?
No, no. You stretch it out. You put it between 2 points. See, okay. Johnny, between 2 points is exactly one line.
Like a tightrope.
So you're going to make lines.
Like a bird tightrope.
Fishing stuff. And they if they get there and hit it, it'll throw them off. And so they won't try to fly through there.
It's like
anymore.
A force field.
Yeah. That's why there's all those. If you see it, there's like all these.
Well,
these,
you don't see it. It's fishing line.
Well, I can see it. It may be thicker than fishing line.
All right.
But because we get the thickest fishing line you can. And you also might catch some fish. Like, there's all kinds of things.
Anything can happen, I guess. But it'd be the weirdest way to catch a fish ever.
I forget how I learned that. I think my wife, who knows everything, I was like, why are all these fishing line above the table? She's like, well, that keeps the seagulls from coming down into the tables and getting the food. So I know
they sell products, but I don't know if that keeps them from nesting in an area that they're determined to nest in. It could be that he's like, thanks for this base. Because they've built like a little ledge for them. It's weird because there's like a little ledge of a couple stack stones in this alcove. I've heard there's chemicals too that you can buy, like this paste that's called like hot foot or something, and it irritates birds' feet.
Wow. So you want to go burning birds with chemicals, and I'm just saying put up some fishing line.
What you do is you rig up a bucket of acid with fishing line. No.
Well, don't matter.
Then you tell the bird he's prom king. When he gets on stage, he's all excited. It's his big moment. Then you rip the cord. That's the movie Carrie.
Yeah.
Okay. No, but it's weird because I like nature, but
I just don't want it near you.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like if a bee's nest was, you know, a wasp nest. You just knock wasp.
Wasp.
You knock it down. You don't go, well, I don't want to disrupt his habitat.
Well, the last week on the story about the spider, you're like, if I scooped him up in a jar. I was like, what? I've never scooped a spider up in a jar.
I anticipated listeners feeling sorry for the spider, especially since it was with child.
Yeah. I mean, it just, here's the deal.
You never know this day and age in social media where people are going to just be like, first of all, we anthropomorphize every animal now.
Yeah.
Because every animal has had a cartoon made about it. Even Charlotte's Web. Think about Charlotte's Web.
I know.
Like, the ending of Charlotte's Web is her valiantly dying while giving birth, and her children fly away on the little, you know, what are those called? The little webs that carry them around, like the little web spinnerlets, whatever they're called.
I don't know what it is, but I want to hear you keep trying.
They fly away, and it's like, and then Wilbur gets to see, like, oh, these are Charlotte's babies. I
killed Charlotte and her babies. Yeah, you did.
She almost made it to the finish line, and I was like, no, ma'am.
But she wasn't in a barn. She came to the door of your garage.
Yeah, that's
true. Out in the open.
Yeah.
So these are not direct correlations, Johnny.
I mean, a garage and a barn aren't much different to a spider, though.
How do you know?
Okay.
See, there's so much spider judgment happening.
You think the spider's like, I'm moving on up. Like he's feeling good about himself. You see the Zillow values back here? This is where I want to raise my family.
That's what I'm the spider was thinking. Suburbs now.
The spider was thinking that. This is where the schools are good. This is where we want to raise our kids.
It's like snakes. You know, people always like, oh, snakes, they kill the mice around the house. As long as it's just a black gardener snake. And I'm like, I've never met a snake that I did not immediately begin swinging at it with a weapon.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just instinct. I don't know how to be like, oh, it's okay. Leave him under the deck. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Nope. I mean, like, I just don't know how to do that.
I just made me think of a good idea for like a Far Side type cartoon where salmon are like going upstream and somebody's like, why do you guys keep swimming upstream? And the salmon's like, the school districts up here are better. it's such a dad joke, and I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay.
We'll do better, listeners. I apologize.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do better.
But yeah.
I can't guarantee I'll do better.
I like nature, but there is a part of, like, spider, it's the extra two legs maybe, because, like, if you see a bug, you're like, that's a bug, get it. If you see a spider, those extra two legs, give it an extra. Plus, they bite. I guess if you just see a roach, you're like, this is gross, and it means that we're trash.
Right.
And that we need to hire a bug guy. But if you see a spider, it's like, how many more of them are there?
Danger.
It has fangs.
Yeah.
It's going to kill me.
I have people, and I'm not going to say who they are, but they might exist in my family and live in my home and be my wife and my daughter. But they're convinced every spider we see is
a brown recluse.
A brown recluse. It's a brown recluse. You know,
brown recluse are very, they're very underwhelming looking. If you've ever seen one, it's not a gigantic spider.
I told you about, see, I don't know, I don't usually get like snakes. I don't take time to stop and see.
And
spiders.
Yeah.
No, wolf spider I can recognize, which are huge. They're all around the pool usually.
Well, how do you tell the difference?
They have
big hairs?
They're hairy, right? They're just very big, but I don't know. I still don't
Is that why they're called wolf spiders? Are they hairy like
no,
a werewolf?
No, actually they howl. It's crazy.
Okay. They only come out on a full moon.
I don't know, but I've never seen a spider they didn't think was. And same thing. So we were at the beach up in Clearwater, and we had this 7th floor balcony right near the jetties. And it looked like you were on a cruise ship. Like there was no, it was just rocks down under this overhang. So you're like looking out over the water. You're not looking at a beach. The beach is to your right. You're looking out over water. Mm-hmm. And the wildlife there was unbelievable because the jetties is, you know, an area where they come and go a lot. There's a lot of boat traffic and stuff, so you're not out on the beach. So we saw manatee every night.
Oh, nice.
Is it manatee plural, or do you put an S on there?
Manatee. I think it would be just manatee.
Manatee, I don't know. So manatee and the dolphins.
I think it would be minatee.
Because there's many of them, right?
No, because it's men. Like man is men.
Manatee.
You know, like many man is
men. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Can you tell me about your manatees here? And they're like, oh, they're out back by the jetties. It's so stupid.
Well, the dolphin, again, are those plural? I don't know. The dolphin.
Dolphi?
The dolphin were like 15 deep. Like they were everywhere.
15 deep. You're stacking these dolphins.
Oh, yeah. They were right on top of each other, like doing tricks and stuff. And, I mean, they're jumping. I mean, you could sit up there and watch all day. Mom went, and she loved watching, and we'd watch at night especially. But Laura has never seen a shark. Mm-hmm. And so she'll love that I tell this story. So, like, every day, mm-hmm. and it was so much fun, she'd be like, hey, John, I think that's a shark. And, you know, we'd look because you'd see a fin come up and then it'd go down for a while. I go, honey, I don't. So I'd watch, you know, and see. And especially if they're far away, you know, because you're looking for that curved, you know, area. But again, every fin she saw in the water, first instinct, just like every spider you see, almost a brown recluse, every fin you saw must be a shark. You know, we never actually saw a shark.
Bro, that'll preach.
Oh, come on, guys.
If you're carrying a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right?
If the you're only carrying tool you, a dolphin.
If the only tool you have is a harpoon gun, everything looks like a shark. Is that it?
Guys.
First of all, if the only tool you have is a harpoon gun.
Right. You're not.
You need to.
You're not a contractor. I'll say that.
You're in somebody's house. Now, what is it? Birds keep nesting?
Getting a harpoon gun.
Hang on. Let me go run to my truck.
Let me go over to the boat.
Sir, I don't think that.
You don't want to harpoon the birds.
No.
No.
That's
just cruel at that point.
I think that would take out the alcove, probably.
It probably would. I've not used a harpoon gun, per se.
It looks amazing, doesn't it?
I like the idea of what I shoot, I can pull right back to me. You know what? They should do that in hunting, because when I took the hunter safety course as a child, you know, if you're bow hunting, you know, the generally the arrow doesn't kill the deer immediately.
Oh, it just runs away.
You got to track it now. Mm-hmm. What if you harpooned the deer?
Yep.
And now you can just pull
like
it right
scorpion
to you.
Get over here! And you pull the deer towards you. Mortal Kombat.
We saw a group. I don't know, what do you call them? A colony? What are the deer? Herd? We saw about 12 bucks yesterday, right by our house yesterday. Yeah. And they're in velvet right now.
What does that mean?
That means their antlers are kind of furry.
They're wearing smoking jackets and they they have pipes. They're in velvet.
They got this Vegas show.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Anyway, it was kind of cool. A lot of deer out right now, or deers. It's
deer.
Today's episode is about the plural form of animal names.
It's like the Brian Regan bit about oxen and oxes and geesen and meesen and moosen. He didn't know the plural when he was a kid in school. It's a classic Brian Regan bit. Anyway, no, I like nature. But I just want it to stay over there. Like, I feel bad, too, because we've moved in on their territory and put up houses, and then we're upset. It's like we've talked about that. Like, there's a subdivision over here called Deer Run. It's like, they run when you bring bulldozers into their house. Look at the deer run into traffic. So I feel a little bit bad that we've set up because it's basically, those are our hives. Yeah. We've just said, you don't get to have your hive anymore. It's our hive. It's our little community, and it's our hive. And the head of the HOA is the queen. That's the queen bee. But so that's just our hive. And so we're mad when they try to bring their hives back. And we're like, no, knock down that wasp nest. But it's like, I get it. It's a perfect spot for a wasp nest. You're in the shade. All you want to do is sting some people and burrow underground, maybe underneath their skin and lay eggs. I don't know what wasps do. I don't know a lot.
Apparently you don't. You don't. Yeah.
Wasps I will say seem this, pretty worthless, though. Like, I don't know what they serve. Probably they're a food source for something, and that's why
I don't know.
Created, maybe.
But I will tell you this, because you don't understand this because you have hair. But if you go bald, your head is like a tracking beacon for wasps.
Like I got
stung.
It's like a helipad.
They're like, ooh, look at that bright, shiny thing. And I mean, I got just absolutely lit up two summers ago by a wasp.
Stung on the head.
Oh, yeah. Straight on my head. Yeah. Yeah. And that... So the other day, by the way, a bug came. This is a long story. I've told you that I think we talked about sunglasses, that normally I buy 10 pairs of sunglasses at a time at the Dollar Tree. Because the deal is, I don't really care about, like, name brand sunglasses. Yeah. Okay. So Dollar Tree has these aviators. And I found them when I was at the beach, actually, because several years ago, I was like, ooh, you know, this is great.
Because 10 pair?
I lose them so often. And, Johnny, everything's a dollar.
But you don't lose 9 in a row,
no,
do
it
you?
Takes months. That's what I'm saying. I have a stash. And if I lose a pair somewhere, leave them in the car, I fall in the sea.
This feels like they're just in the way, 10 pair of something.
No, they're like in a drawer. And I just go and I grab another pair, you know, like if I need them. So it's great. Or and you know, I don't know if you, I know you'll be shocked, but they're not the highest quality.
No.
So, I mean, occasionally if I get, like, too hot or sweaty, they might leave a residue in my face. Like, they, because...
What?
Yeah, it's a...
Wait a minute. The sunglasses are producing a residue?
Yeah. I think they're, like, almost like a fake gold chain will turn green and leave stuff on your skin.
What are you buying?
Laura's seen, I don't know. She's like, something's on your face. And so it was like...
My glasses are molting.
Yeah. And so, and then they bend easy. They don't always sit exactly level on your face, but I bend them back because they're easy to bend because they cost a dollar.
I have glasses like that. I think I have one of those heads too where I'm like, is one of my ears lower than the other? Are these cheap glasses?
Right.
That happens with hats too where I'll put a hat on and I'll think, this is straight. And then it's not like cocked to the side like it was cool for a while to wear your hat a little bit cocked.
Right.
It's just in between where you just look like you're a clueless person that doesn't know how to wear a hat.
Yeah.
And I think my head slowly morphs into that. Like if it's straight and then I'll walk around for a while, my hat decides to do that.
You have an incongruous...
I have an irregular head.
Yeah. I think I do too. Like I certainly... What is that whole thing about...
If my head was on sale, it would be at the Dollar Tree. 10 for $10.
You get 10 of Johnny's heads. No, it's one of those... What do they say about attraction or attractive people have like a perfectly symmetric face or whatever.
That's part of what draws you to them.
Right. I don't have that. So the glasses are... crooked, but I can bend them into place, you know, so it's easier than bending my face. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So when we went on our kind of makeup honeymoon trip, then Laura's
a makeup honeymoon?
It was our 20th last year in the fall, right in the middle of
COVID. Sounds like you were making up from like breaking up.
No, no.
It was our makeup honeymoon.
It was the postponed honeymoon because we were right in the middle of COVID and fall and school and said he was being quarantined every other week and everything. So we went, you know, to Clearwater, just me and her. And she's like, will you please get a real pair of glasses? And I was like, I really don't.
You're embarrassing your wife at this point.
I don't know if it was an embarrassment or
it looks like she's not taking care of you.
Maybe.
Because you it reflects on her when you look like that big of a dork.
I don't know. So I went and bought.
Yeah.
A pair of Ray-Ban aviators.
Oh, okay.
Here's the funny part.
Sunglass Hut.
No, I got them at Academy.
Oh.
Academy Sports and Outdoors, not a sponsor.
No.
And so I went in there and I looked at them. And of course, it's in the case. It's all, you have to get someone to hand them to you and all this stuff, which now I already know I'm in a different league. I mean, I walk into Dollar Tree and I'm grabbing, like, you know, candy and a soda and 10 pairs of glasses. You know,
you still get out of there for
you.
$15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here I'm having to get this from under the case. She's looking at it. And I looked at the thing and it said like $80. I was like, God, oh, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But okay. You know, Lauren's going to get some real glasses, you know. So she boxes them up. I go to pay. It rings up $160.
Oh, wow. It was the...
I don't know.
Twice the price day at Academy.
It was like for each lens. I don't know what it
That's
was.
That's true. That's for only for one eye,
sir.
Oh,
you want this to work on
both
eyes.
Oh, you don't
want to
squint in just the left eye.
I don't know what it was, but at that point, it was kind of like pride, and I could hear my wife like, just get them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to buy one. I was like, honey, I'm going to lose them. And so I bought the aviators, and here's the thing. I loved them.
Oh, boy.
Because I didn't have to bend them. They don't leave residue in my face.
You've changed.
Like, and they were great. So I wore them on the trip. Everything's great.
You think you're too good for me now.
A little, well, that was all, well, that's another story. So a little bit of time passes.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, Father's Day comes around.
Okay.
Guess what my incredible mother-in-law buys for me, my brother-in-law, and my father-in-law for Father's Day?
It's going to be sunglasses.
Sunglasses. Another nice pair. And
nicer,
so,
though, probably, right?
They were probably, well, these were, Tom, again, I've gone from like this 6 weeks ago.
Don't say Oakleys, John.
They were Oakleys.
Oh, man.
6 weeks ago, I'm a Dollar Tree wearing son of a gun.
Yeah.
And 6 weeks later, I now have a pair of Ray-Bans and Oakleys.
Wow.
And so I took the Oakleys in to trade them at Sunglass Hut, and I bought the plan to have protection on them in case, because I was like, if I lose these... I will
lose
these.
Wait a minute. What's the protection? I don't understand. They protect you against loss?
Yeah. You still have to pay you have to pay like a core charge. Like, you still got to come in and pay $40 to get a brand new $250 pair of glasses though, or whatever.
Okay.
So, and she got them on. Anyway. So I got them. The other day, this all comes back to bugs and spiders.
Are you going to be the guy with the string around your neck to keep the glasses from...
No, I just...
Where it rests like old people?
I haven't lost...
Cord.
I haven't lost either one yet.
All right.
Wait, did I leave one in a restaurant one time? But I went out and got, I don't know what it was. Anyway.
You walked out of the restaurant today and you had your napkin. So not only do you lose things, you're
you take
stealing.
Things.
You're like, is this my fork? What am I? You go,
I totally forgot.
You go, I've stolen a napkin.
I stole a napkin. I just went, I didn't even say anything to them. I just laid it on the
front. Did you really just walk
stand.
Back in?
Well,
and
I don't
like,
want to, it's so shaming.
Can I help you, sir? You're like, I just
I think this is yours.
You fold it into a swan for them. I'll just leave it here.
So anyway, I'm outside after church and all of a sudden a bug comes to my bald head at like the landing pad and I go up to swipe it and I grab the back of my glasses, my new Oakleys, and somehow perfectly swipe and send them flying to the concrete and scratch them half to heck.
Oh, no.
So then I had to go to Sunglass Hut, pay the $40. So I have, Johnny.
So they can't be buffed or anything.
No, it was like true scratched. And if, guess what? If this was the old days, guess what I do? I go home, open the drawer, and pull out pair number 17, and we're all good to go.
Let me say this to you, though. For $40, your core charge, you could have got 40 pair.
I know. And I'm not sure how to feel about it. I guess
and a pack of bubble tape.
This is...
or whatever they sell at the counter there. It's an impulse buy. They're like, oh my gosh, they still make Bubblicious? You grab it.
You know that they have steak. They sell steak at Dollar Tree in the back, in the freezer section.
No.
I kind of want to try it one day and just see what happens.
A frozen Dollar Tree steak sounds yummy.
I'm wondering, though.
It's grilling season.
I mean, what are you going to... Surely you could season that mess. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's terrific. Maybe it's like the glasses, and this worked all this time. And people are like, oh, yeah, I eat Dollar Tree steak every night.
And it leaves residue on your face, too, somehow. It's leaving residue in your colon.
I want to try it. I think we should try it on the air one day.
A Dollar Tree steak?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And
like
then,
a little...
Because again, the episodes last about 45 minutes an hour.
We could go make each other a meal. Like, it's like Secret Chef or whatever, or Iron Chef.
Yeah.
We go to Dollar Tree to make our meal, and we challenge each other and see which one's more delicious.
Who can make the best meal out
there
of
There was a Rhett and Link, you know, Rhett and Link, famous YouTube, one of the original, like, YouTube accounts that went mega viral.
Yeah.
And they did one the other day that somebody sent me, and it was trying all of the end-of-days buckets that Jim Baker sells to see if the food was good food. So it was like, you know, mashed potatoes and gravy and broccoli and cheese. And it comes in a 5 gallon bucket, you know.
For $1,200. I saw it the other night.
They bought the buckets to see, like, what's really edible. And some of it was not, most of it was awful. And they're just like, oh, God, they can't even keep it in their mouth very long. But some of it was like, this isn't bad, you know.
Wow.
It's like a grilled chicken or something. Wow. It starts the size of a dime. You float it in water for, I don't know what you do.
Oh, man.
We had that one time when I worked at the group home. Because my family founded a group home when I was a kid. Some new listeners may not know that. So we would go to Second Harvest. It was called Share back then.
Yeah.
And you would go, not Share like the singer. Share had this, she really loved reaching out and helping people. So we'd go to Second Harvest and they would have the weirdest things sometimes. And you would just go like, get them and we'll see what we can do with them. And one time it was like almost like the military stuff. It was these freeze-dried pork chops in a can. And I swear to you, the can was this huge 10-pound or number 10 can, which is, you know, we call it a 10-pound can or a number 10 can. But it's a gigantic can like you would see at Costco. But it weighed like maybe half a pound, and it would shake like a maraca. It was because these little tiny pork chops are all like all the water's been taken out of them, and you float them in a dish of water, like you put them in a pan with a little bit of water overnight, and it turns into a pork chop, and then you make the pork chops.
I'm almost speechless right now.
I know. Isn't that a thing? It's a real thing.
I can't.
There's green peppers, there's onions, there's all that stuff that you could just, they're like little flakes, and you float them in a, and then now you've got onions. It's weird.
Wow. But I don't, like I think space
they do it,
food.
They do it. It's like space food. They do it for the military because it's just easier right. to haul around, I guess, but somehow it ended up on the shelves there. They must have had a bunch of them, and so that's what we need. We need to go to Dollar Tree, make our little meal.
Yeah.
And then we'll live broadcast our results. Great. And I don't know.
And we need to serve it at the beginning because food poisoning takes about 45 minutes to take effect.
That's true.
So Dollar by the Tree end of the episode.
Dollar Tree could be a sponsor if they want. And they could just like provide the food. But I mean, again, it's probably going to cost us $4.99.
The lowest sponsorship anyone's ever had.
Really
like we gave you $12.
Yeah.
And no, well, we would take it. Hey.
Wait, you got to start somewhere. You've got to start somewhere.
It's so interesting. We were talking the other day. I don't know if we said this. I don't think that we did. I was eating at a fairly nice restaurant
mm-hmm.
downtown for a meeting. And I came out and there was a homeless guy sitting there.
Yeah.
And he asked me if I could spare any money. And I was like, I don't, because I don't carry cash at all anymore. In fact, I don't even carry a wallet.
I think we talked about this last week.
I think this was in the first 15 minutes that got cut.
Oh.
Remember that last week? Because
that's right.
One of the channels wasn't
working. Now we've tipped our hand that we had a malfunction last week.
We recorded a full quarter episode last week
uh-huh.
and had to stop because only one of the channels was recorded.
And then we had to try to remember what we talked about yeah. and then be surprised by each other again.
We never got back to this part.
So, okay. So,
yeah.
John, proceed.
So I went out there. I don't carry cash. I don't even carry a wallet anymore.
Yeah.
Like I now have everything I need in my phone. It's all like...
I thought you were going to say, like, I don't believe in money anymore.
I got this chip in my forehead. and so the guy asked, and he goes, well, I take Venmo.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is a new...
He brought it up. You didn't say, well, you don't take Venmo, do you?
No.
Did he bring it
but
up?
I did say... Maybe I did. Did I say it?
You were like, there's no way you've got Venmo. I do.
He did.
Yeah.
And he was asking for money for a hotel room
yeah, okay.
for that night, you know. And so that was really interesting, and I did it.
Yeah.
And it was like it's such an interesting age of how like you talk about, okay, if a person can use a dollar to buy a steak,
mm-hmm.
you know, or a person who you think of all the ways we think of homelessness and there's a lot of stereotypes there. I was reading a Philip Yancey book and he was talking about a homeless guy that was like a NASA engineer that he was hanging out with whose wife died of like cancer and the kid like died in a car wreck and how he just had his crises were so great he couldn't cope anymore.
Yeah.
Like he was super smart. It was not an intelligence issue or even an effort issue. Like his bottom fell out of his
right,
life.
Right.
And he said, I asked him when people walk by, you know, and you ask them for money or whatever, and they give it to you or don't give it to you, you know, what's the thing that offends you the most? And he thought it was going to be people having so much saying that they don't have anything to give you.
Yeah.
He says, that's not what the guy was offended at. The guy was most offended that people walk by and they don't realize that everything they have is dependent upon God, just like him.
Mm-hmm.
That they think that because they have something or they're not begging, that they're not also beggars.
Right.
That their life is also completely hinging upon God's
yeah.
provision. Just an interesting sort of, when you again, whether it's sunglasses or whether it's food, all these, like, there's such an inflation. We talked last week about healthcare, you know, the self-pay was $4. We have these almost false inflation of value. Because uh-huh. I'm the kind of guy that looks at the sunglasses and goes, there's no reason Ray-Bans should cost $160. You know, it's not 160 times better than the glasses I got at Dollar Tree.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, but I did it, and it's such a privileged thing to do that. And I will say they're not falling apart.
It's 160 times less residue.
It does. And, you know, it's fine. It's almost like I think that a lot of us are dealing with so much excess and so much ability. And again, I'm trying to give, and I'm not trying to act like I'm just rolling around in money, but most people I know have a nice pair of glasses, or they drive a car that they, you know, is a nice car. But you just go, how do you really feel that you're utterly dependent? Do I feel utterly dependent upon God because of the things that I have or don't have?
I don't know if I feel that. I definitely feel like aware that it could be taken away, but I don't know if that's appreciation or just like dread.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
Like foreboding.
That's like the other, it's like the ugly half brother of appreciation is like, this could all go away.
Yeah.
Like somebody may be like, I just try to live my life one day at a time because this could all go away. And I'm like, I live my life one day at a time because this could all go away. Like it's the same sentence, but it's a totally different mindset.
So the defensive mechanism of a six, by the way, is to prepare. And I realize that's, to your dread, that's what I live doing.
Yeah.
I try to prepare, and some of it is dread or foreboding, so that what can be taken away, that I can mitigate the level of disaster. I tell you, I almost got run over by a car running this week.
It's tough to mitigate.
It was crazy because I was already done with the run. I was kind of having my little prayer walk time. I was coming over a hill. I was in obviously opposite traffic, you know, left lane, walking towards, nothing's coming. I hear a car coming from behind me, which is very common. I should be a good 15, 20 feet away from that car because I'm on the far left.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, this Mustang is about, I don't know, 2-3 feet from me, past me. I mean, it was so, the wind blew
past
me.
In the other lane.
Yeah, he crossed the double yellow line over the hill. So that means if another car had been coming, he would have hit a car.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he fell asleep, if he was drunk, if he just, you know, wasn't paying attention. But that car came dangerously close to me.
Sheesh.
And then you know, swerved back into the right lane. And like, it shook me. I think it shakes me because I recognize I couldn't have prepared for that.
Uh-huh.
Like I did, I was in the safest place on the road I could be for a runner, and I'm glad that I was. But he could have lost complete control, you know, or whatever. And you just go, man. I deal with not knowing. I'm always one thing. We're all one thing away from being either on the street, or one thing away from a funeral, or one moment away from a bad phone call. And that, for I think, for people like you and I don't know if everybody deals with that. But it is a constant thought. In fact, that's one of the reasons I know I'm a six and not a three, because a three is this achiever, and I kind of have that side. And I have a three, what's called Enneagram path, meaning I deal in that part a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It brings good and bad things to me. But my core motivations are always that dread or that fear. And the way I deal with it is always anxiety over it, whether it's in preparation or in planning and mitigation.
Yeah, but I think your anxiety maybe makes you act more, and my anxiety is more paralyzing.
That's because I am a counterphobic six. You're nailing it. And you are probably just a regular six.
Yeah.
Neither one's
a standard, regular old, dumb six.
Neither one's not better than the other.
I'm a lazy six. I'm like the one without the, you know, if you're playing Uno and the six has the line under it to show you it's not a nine, I don't have the line. It's just like, figure it out.
Yeah, whichever way you flip me. Yeah. No, I mean, again, there's no good or bad. It's just the way we, I mean, there are areas of life where I get, I guess, deer in the headlight about the fear.
Yeah.
And that's a bad spot for me. When I feel like I'm stuck, I will get anxious over too many tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Too many deadlines. I'm waiting on something. I need to get this in. So I know you think I'm just like completely all the time being productive, and that actually is an idol for me. Like it's a real, if I'm not in motion, I get depressed.
Yeah.
Like vacation the first 3 days, very tough for me. Very, very tough.
That's why you need 10, 11 days, John.
I do. I need 2 weeks. I'm telling you, at least 2 weeks, because it takes me five days to relax.
This is now a privileged conversation.
It is a very privileged conversation. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You got to have 2 weeks. Come on.
I've got to learn to not treat vacation like the...
birthright or whatever.
I hate living vacation to vacation.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, if I can just get to October, we're going to go to the beach.
Oh, and, yeah. I mean, we've all been there.
You know,
I used to live like break to break when I was in retail. I worked at Home Depot, and it was just like, okay, if I can just get this hour, then I get my 15-minute break, and maybe they'll send a couple of us home if we get slow. Like it was just a lot of living in the future of like, All right. Okay, I'm on my 15-minute break. How much time do I got to, like, go back? Okay. All right, I could get a sandwich maybe real quick out of the fitting. This is very moment to moment and or paycheck to paycheck for sure. That's how most people live, paycheck to paycheck. But, yeah, it is. Sometimes it's like you see that old saying. It's like a very Instagram church thing of, like, that's the new – we talked about that the other day, like, the spirituality – that's taken over Instagram is very like, if you can't handle me, my worst. It's very humanistic. And but one of those that's famous is like, instead of living vacation to vacation, construct a life that you don't have to escape from. Mm. It's like, that's very easy to say, though.
Yeah.
It's very easy to say, just make a life where you're living your dreams 100% of the time, and then you won't need a vacation. Every day will be like a vacation. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
You're living in dreamland.
That's also a privileged statement. I mean, you know, if you, I don't know. There's
I know very few people, even the people who you think are living their dream every day, there's work and there's things they don't like, you know. Creatives that I know, like Jeffrey Holland is a great example. So he got to do a great shoot, and he's doing this thing this week. And then I saw his Instagram photo yesterday on his reel, and it was like or his Instagram story. And he'd been waiting 4 hours for a rental car or something. He's got his mask on. He's like, hour four of the rental car wait. And I'm like, all right. So it's like it levels that you're like, every part of your dream has these weird things, those hitches thrown in.
Right. There's nobody who has outrun the human experience by being either rich or successful or doing the thing they love.
Yeah.
And it's a challenging statement because we don't really believe it. Do you follow John Onwuchekwa?
No.
The guy, pastor in Atlanta.
Maybe.
He's the guy, they're the SBC church that left over racial issues.
Okay, I've heard the story for sure.
He's endorsed our book and it's been so gracious.
Okay,
I mean, I had just some amazing interaction with him. And he's got a new book coming out next year that he shared some with me, and he's sharing, I mean, his story is unbelievable, and I can't wait for us to tell the listeners about that book when it comes out. I mean, one worth getting. But he's talking about Ecclesiastes a lot and how that, because he was at a really, really, really low point. His brother had passed away. You know, he's just got some incredible stories in there, difficult things, but he talks about and brings out of Ecclesiastes some of the things that I think he talks about, how, like, the teacher in Ecclesiastes basically says money cannot satisfy you, which sounds so – he goes, we act like we know that, but we still – we cannot believe it.
We live like it's not true. Yeah.
We can't believe it. It's almost impossible. Yeah. If I just had – and the one that really got me, that just stopped me in my tracks this week, and it's all Ecclesiastes, different verses I'd read before, but I hadn't really paid attention, you know, that knowledge also – knowledge is like digging a well where you don't ever find the water that you think you're going to find.
Yeah.
And he talked about, you know, because he's a little bit like me in the respect of, it reminded me of my journey even with the racism conversation, that when that really hit home for me, that I needed to be different or thinking differently, the first thing I did was order 10 books. And I think that's a good thing. He's like, hey, that's a good thing.
Right.
But learning all about this doesn't, there's never a moment you're going to wake up and go, ah, like, I've satisfied now that sense of injustice that I've been a part of or that needs to change. Like, it's necessary. You need to.
Yeah.
But the teacher keeps coming back. Like, the teacher learned more than all of us combined, had more money than all of us combined, had more sexual experiences than all of us combined. Like, all the things that we think will really satisfy. And it's a super challenging thing, because it sounds like just a sermon.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody, nothing will satisfy but God. And it's like, no, he proves.
To your point about knowledge, think about the experts in the things that we've been dealing with the last year and a half, 2 years. The experts on race are the most frustrated. The experts on the virus are the most frustrated people.
Yeah. Wow.
They're not the least. They're like, well, I know exactly what to do. And you're like, oh, so you feel good? No, I feel awful.
Yeah. Well, and it's a trap. It's a lie that I believe all the time. I always believe if I can learn more, then I will.
Yeah.
The word here, I guess, I mean, like, almost like I'll be satisfied. I mean, I want to go back to school. Like, I'm contemplating 3 degrees right now that I want to go get and how I could get them. I've been doing that for 5 to 10 years. Like, I always think that knowledge or that thing will make me, you know, who I need to be. And it doesn't, but it is a well that can bring good things, but it won't be fully satisfying. In fact, I read this morning Psalm 27. Hold on. Psalm 27 in the Amplified. It got me again. It's like all this is coming together. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious and compassionate to me and answer me. And then verse 8 says, this is Amplified. When you said, seek my face, and Amplified gives you these brackets of all the words in the Hebrew that can mean, which means in prayer, and this is what seek my face meant, require my presence as your greatest need, in bracket. Mm-hmm. So he said, when you said, seek my face, what you were saying to me is, what you need to do is require nearness to me as your greatest need. And I was just like, holy crap, like that. Do I really live? And it was this. I hate the word convicting. I really hate the word convicting. We had to edit some marketing language the other day, and they'd use convicting. And I said, you know, it hit me, convicting. Because how many times have you grew up, Johnny, in church? It's like, well, it's not condemnation, but it is conviction, right. You know. And the deal is, the scriptures do use that word. You know, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and all those things. But it also is. To an unbelieving world, it's a purely legal term. When I went to look it up, just look it up in the dictionary, conviction only applies to legal things. And so it has like only this sort of Christian tone to it. And so I don't want to always just say that convicted me, because it in a legal term, that means I lost and they're throwing me in jail now. I've been convicted. But we say, well, the God convicted me of that. And that's true. But I think like God, again, corrected is probably a better word, or God is moving me along, you know, any of that really corrected me today.
Like, you were wearing $1 glasses.
Uh-huh.
And God said, try these on for size.
Oh, wow.
And he put on some.
And let me tell you, through the lens of the gospel, it was 160 times better.
Clearer. UV blockage.
Oh, what
prevents sunburn?
Come on, now.
That's a church marquee sign.
What was the thing?
Sunblock prevents sunburn. S-O-N block.
S-O-N block. Oh my goodness. Or sunscreen. Yeah, I've seen that one too.
I had a thought the other day. We use a lot of weird phrases in the South, and I usually can go, "Oh well, I pretty much can figure out where that came from." You know, like as the crow flies or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's one that I do not know where it came from, and I need your help.
All right.
And I need the listener's help. And I've not Googled it yet, so there's probably an easy solve. But somebody said, and then he just hauled off and hit me.
Yeah.
Like, it's different than just being like, he hit me. He didn't just hit me. He hauled off.
Wow.
And hit me.
What does that mean?
Where does that come from? Like, maybe there's a time frame between, like... Because hauled off means...
Take something away.
Are you rare back, maybe? Or what does it mean in the way they're using it? Does it mean it was quick? Like, I couldn't believe he hauled off and hit me. Because, like, hauled off would mean, like, he took time, like the time it would take to haul something off, and then he hit me?
He hauled off. He got his truck.
He hauled some things away.
And then he came back.
He came back, and he hit me. What is it? Where is that from?
You know, that's fascinating. And I'm not going to look it up either.
And I wonder if that's everywhere. I wonder if we have regional listeners who are in the Northeast or whatever, and they're like, I don't know what. Nobody says that.
No one's ever said that, yeah.
But I know they say it in the South.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
He hauled off. And it's usually a pause, too. He hauled off and hit me. It's never hauled off and yelled at me.
Yeah, it's very...
It's like you're getting ready. Nobody hauls off and kicks you either. It's a hit. It's always a hit, right?
Yeah.
What other usage could it be?
I've never said hauled off and kick.
It sounds like that'd be a great moving company. Call us and we'll haul off and move you. I don't know.
Wow. It's like a junk removal.
Yeah. It's like they move you and then there's like boxing matches.
Yeah.
Haul off and hit me. It's like a fight club that also helps you like the way reset your furniture.
The way that they train you for the fight is by lifting heavy furniture. That's the workout. And then
it's like
hit
the Rocky Balboa training scene.
Yeah. Like a haul off.
It's like an end table.
And then they hit you.
Yeah. You're move this pile of concrete from here to there and then get in the ring with me.
Yeah.
Haul off and
I must break you. Because it was Rocky IV where he trained in Russia with all of the...
Yeah, he's moving a bag of rocks, and then Dolph Lundgren's on the high-tech machines.
Taking all the steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And Rocky's just taking pure willpower.
Yeah, except for 100% Sylvester Stallone was using steroids then, too. I think he's admitted it since then.
They just didn't show it.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, like, he's a movie star, so he was in his own professional.
It's not illegal. It wasn't illegal for him to take steroids, right?
I don't know. Who knows? Was it? Steroids illegal for...
I don't think steroids are... Are they illegal for a movie star? It's a good question.
You seem like you're asking this because you want to know if the steroids you're taking are okay.
I just signed a movie deal, and...
We have a new sponsor on the show. Anabolic steroids.
I have a roid rage and haul off and hit somebody.
It happened. Oh, my goodness. That's how it happens.
My goodness. They still call them roid rages, or is that offensive now? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Who would that be offensive to?
People who take steroids, I guess. I don't know. It's interesting. Interesting to me how things are changing in that, you know, they're deregulating the NCAA quite a bit.
Yes.
Now with
people can make money on their likeness. And
you've heard the quarterback at Alabama who's yet to play it down.
Already making seven figures. And Saban's upset. And I'm like, Saban, look at your contract.
He makes $9.2 million a year.
Well, it's not been a year yet, so.
No. No, Saban makes 9.2.
Oh, I thought you were saying the kid makes 9.2.
The kid, hey, listen, if you're going to use his name and likeness and image.
Bro, can you imagine how many Christian Laettner jerseys were sold when we were kids?
Oh, my goodness.
And Duke is like, appreciate it. Here's your education. Yeah. Laettner's like, They're like, but you're going to go be a big NBA star. Am I, though?
Yeah.
And he wasn't.
Yep.
He was not good in the NBA. He was just like a role
player. Which is crazy.
But, if you're Christian Laettner, you're feeling like this is probably almost three decades too late.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing, too. Like, Reggie Bush, they took his Heisman away.
And he wants it back now.
Yeah. He's like, where's my Heisman at?
If I was going to write the book with him, I'd call it Give It Back My Heisman before I haul off and, I don't know. I'd love to write that book. That'd be fun.
If you get two Heismans, is it Heismen? You know, if you win two in a row. Didn't Tebow win two in a row?
If a manatee won two Heismans.
It's a Heismanity?
John, there's a t-shirt idea there somewhere.
This is a great place to end.
A manatee accepting a Heisman. Heismanity. We just made something new.
It's beautiful.
We hope that you've enjoyed the newness of today's podcast episode. You can always listen more and check out other great things about the podcast at...
TalkAboutThatPodcast.com. Mm-hmm. And many archived episodes, over 160.
This will be 168 or 9, I can't remember.
Yeah. So, man, your road trip to Florida with your family, we took care of you.
Oh, yeah.
Just go.
There are some people that do. They save us for road trips.
You can almost ride your bike to Florida with 170 episodes.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Please put on some SPF if you do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't, you don't want to ride on the interstate.
Yeah. So don't wear Dollar Tree glasses.
Yeah. No. Don't do that.
They go.
Stay to the left if you're running.
But make sure you leave a review, click on it, share. That helps the algorithm. We don't understand the algorithm. We don't know what it is. I don't know what an algorithm really does.
I think it's like those precogs sitting in the slime pool.
It's just a regular pool. I don't think it was slime.
No, it was like a slimy pool in Minority Report.
I don't think it's...
Johnny, it was a slimy pool.
I don't remember that.
What do you think? It was like a regular pool of water?
They just had electrodes and stuff coming off their hair. They were just laying in it. It's crazy because it acts as a conductor.
Yeah, I think it was like a gel.
I think you've combined two things and you've made them in a pool of slime.
Guys, listen, number one, I don't know where Hall Off comes from, and I want to know
is
if
John
it was a
right
slimy
about Minority
pool.
Report. We can just go. We can find that out.
There's no way to know.
We need a producer so bad. We need somebody Googling these things as we talk about
them. Yeah.
It's fun. But anyway, go in there. Patreon links there if you want to. If you feel led to share with us your many gifts.
Yeah.
Then you can do that there. And if not, hey, man, people are having a rough time still sometimes. That's okay. Hey, keep on mooching off the show. We don't mind at all.
Listen, for the cost of 10 pairs of sunglasses at Dollar Tree.
Right.
You can be a part.
And we send things to our patrons.
Yes.
We need to do another group call. I think it's time.
I think it is time.
We've sent books and DVDs and CDs of our different projects, but it's time. And you've got new books coming out.
I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to send all, when the book comes out, the Not So Black and White book, I'm going to go ahead and send one to all of our patrons.
Look at that.
Yeah.
So you could get in on that now.
Yeah. Go check
it
out.
For the low cost of whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you give.
So that'll be fun. But thank you guys for all of you who do support us. We appreciate you. And we look forward to this every week. It's a lot of fun, isn't it, Johnny?
It's very fun. And it's been fun, especially this past 18 months has been a hard time for everybody. But it's kind of kept us connected and kept us grounded.
Yeah.
Like a teenager.
Right.
Like a teenager who has done something wrong.
I can't use my phone.
And you say, get in your room, you're grounded.
Right.
It's kept us grounded in that way.
I don't think they ground teenagers anymore from places. It's only from devices now. Yeah. That's how it works in my life.
So. Did I tell you the great parenting tip that I saw online? I was like, I'm not a parent, but this like blows my mind and I can't believe nobody thought of it and every parent's not doing it. It is to put the list of chores on the fridge.
Uh-huh.
And this person had this picture of it and it said, here's the chores, make your bed, blah, 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 sweep the floor, blah, blah, blah. And then it said, when this is all done, I will post today's Wi-Fi password. I was like, oh. Wow. So they change their Wi-Fi password every day until their kids get their homework done or whatever and their chores. And then they go, now you can get on your devices.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is great. Except for your kids need my Wi-Fi for homework.
And my kid has T-Mobile, so she can just get the, which is horrible. Sorry, T-Mobile, not a sponsor.
Oh, T-Mobile. Maybe it's just horrible here, though.
I don't know, guys. It's like living in a desert, a barren desert wasteland of cell phone service. But apparently we're paying less. That's good.
We are paying less, but we're getting
a lot less.
This is the sunglasses all over again.
It is. It is, guys. It's so,
it all comes back to shades.
Doesn't it, though?
We're throwing shade.
At shades. Guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
This is Chris Christensen, and back in 2006, I started a simple project. A project to try and introduce more people to the Bible through Bible study called the Bible Study Podcast. It's a simple name and a simple idea. Each week, every week, we study one chapter of the Bible, talk about what it says, and what that might mean for us today. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for the Bible Study Podcast on your favorite podcast app.